This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. You made it to Friday. It's April 27th, 2018. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got some sunshine this afternoon, possibility of some rain later on. 55 degrees right now at O'Hare, 47 at the lakefront.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's get a look at what's happening on Wall Street right now from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob and Chris, we have gone from slight losses to slight gains. The Dow is now up 9 points, NASDAQ higher by 8 or a tenth of a percent, S&P gaining 6 points, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by a third of a percent. In Amazon, investors see a profit-making machine with growth in every part of its business. That stock has hit a record high today. Amazon is so confident its customers are hooked on Prime and other services that it is raising the price of its annual membership next month from $99 to $119. Now, on the Dow, Exxon showed it did not benefit from the surge in oil prices this year. Production and profit fell short. Chevron is offsetting some of that loss. It did beat every analyst estimate. So Chevron up 2%, Exxon down 3.5%. As for GDP, first quarter economic growth slowed, but economists say that's not unusual for the beginning of the year. The 2.3% growth rate was better than expected and the strongest for any January to March period in 3 years. And finally, consumer sentiment for April came in higher than expected, even though it was a step lower from the March level. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
And some of the stories that we're going to be talking about on the Noon Business Hour today, the economy grows modestly during the first quarter. Amazon hits its all-time high and then pulls back.
And then coming up at 12:39, it's Entrepreneur Friday, and the dudes behind Dude Wipes have plenty of reasons to celebrate these days as their empire expands. And then we'll talk about the rising cost of consumer goods and whether those costs will be passed along to you. All that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Wall Street is, you might say, high on Amazon today. We'll find out why in our next segment. Right now, today's data includes several closely watched reports. We're joined by Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services in Pittsburgh. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Gus, what strikes you as you look through the economic data?
What strikes me is that the economy looks very solid right now. So we had moderate GDP growth in the first quarter. We had a big increase in wages in the first quarter, according to the Employment Cost Index, so that's good news for workers. And then consumer sentiment fell a little, but was still at a high level. So I think conditions are good and should remain solid throughout 2018.
What kind of role did the recent tax cuts play in this?
You know, I think it's too early to say. So I would expect that the tax cuts will provide a boost to growth in 2018. But surprisingly, consumer spending was one aspect of the economy that was kind of soft in the early part of the year, even though workers did see bigger paychecks. So I think as that filters through to workers, I think consumer spending growth will pick up. I think business investment will pick up. But so far, little impact that I can see in the numbers yet.
Consumer sentiment shows that we're being pulled in opposite directions. And when you get right down to it, consumer sentiment, doesn't it sound more or less of a gauge of how certain policies are being sold versus how they actually impact our pocketbooks?
Well, you know, I think people are looking at, you know, how easy is it to get a job? What's happening to my paycheck? So I think it, to some extent, it does reflect real economic circumstances. As I mentioned, you know, that although sentiment was high, we did see some softness in consumer spending growth in the first quarter. But I do think as the job market continues to tighten, as the unemployment rate moves a bit lower, that we will see consumer sentiment and, more importantly, consumer spending pick back up again.
This is the longest period of economic expansion in quite some time, and in fact, it may have broken the record for the longest stretch of time between recessions. Given the length of this period of expansion and the fact that there are no clouds appear to be on the horizon, is this something that economists are starting to worry about? That you know, maybe some reckoning is eventual and it may not be a pleasant thing to experience.
Certainly, we are concerned about that. This is now the second longest expansion. If it lasts until the middle of next year, it would become the longest. But when I look at the economy now, I don't see anything that's flashing warning signals. So, you know, in 2007, 2008, we were concerned about the housing market. In 2000, we were concerned about the tech bubble. Right now, I don't see anything that's stands out like that. I think that the biggest concern is that we could have a trade war. That would be a drag on growth, or we could see the Federal Reserve make a mistake. They could raise rates too quickly and choke off growth. I don't see that happening anytime soon, but certainly the potential is out there, and that's something we're going to be watching for. But I think we're safe at least through the rest of this year.
There was some flap earlier in the week about the 3% mark in the data, and that was frightening people on Wall Street.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have seen longer-term interest rates move up, but that's to be expected, and it's a signal that the economy is doing better, that growth is picking up, that the Federal Reserve is reducing some of the extraordinary stimulus they applied to the economy. And, you know, certainly if you had told us 10, 15 years ago that the Treasury rate was at 3%, people would have thought that that was fairly low. So it is moving higher, but still I think we're in a low interest rate environment, and I think we're likely to remain in a low interest rate environment.
Anything really stand out to you in all the data that we've been seeing in the last week or two, in terms of business, in terms of home building?
I think that the key thing is that we did get the employment cost index this morning, and that shows that wage growth is definitely picking up. So I think we've had an unemployment rate at 4.1% for the past 6 months. That's the lowest it's been since 2000. And so I think that tight job market is finally filtering through to workers' wages. And obviously that's good news for workers' paychecks and for consumer spending.
No, the White House has been promising 4% growth, and by that metric, 2.3% would be a disappointment. But as we talk about tax refunds hitting the economy and higher wages hitting paychecks, could that 4% threshold be crossed in Q2?
I mean, we could get 4% for one quarter. I don't think we're going to get 4% for an extended period of time. I think we'll see growth move up to about 3%, which would be good and better than what we've had through most of this expansion. But I think it's highly unlikely we'd get to a sustained period of 4% growth.
Well, thank you very much. Gus Fauché, Chief Economist, PNC Financial Services, based in Pittsburgh. Coming up next, shares of Amazon hit an all-time high.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Amazon is flying high with shares soaring to new heights. Let's look at the reasons with Greg Calderon, reporter with Bloomberg based in New York. Greg, welcome back to the program. For a moment today, Amazon shares were trading at $1,617.54. That was briefly surpassing an all-time high. What's driving this newest surge?
Yeah, so first quarter earnings and revenues were both much better than people had expected on Wall Street. So investors and analysts kind of across the board were excited about the quarter. Amazon is really kind of at the nexus of call it retail, technology, and entertainment these days. Margins were higher, kind of driven by Amazon Web Services, which is really their cloud business, which is really the most widely followed component of their business these days, besides kind of the legacy retail business. The move towards the cloud computing sector for technology overall has been incredible. You know, makes up almost 10% of Amazon's revenues currently. Additionally, their Prime membership has been increasing. They're actually starting to take price there for the first time since 2014. They actually announced a $20 increase in Prime membership. A number of analysts across Wall Street confirmed the fact that this is really kind of a justified increase. They expect that to be almost $2 billion in incremental revenue after that increase takes hold, I believe, in June of this year. And then lastly, you know, margins were better. Amazon is really kind of starting to increase their margins across the board after years of investment. So while their operating margins were up kind of 3.8% from 3.5% in Q4. Their actual gross margins were up to 39.8%, up almost 200 basis points from Q4 as well.
And Amazon is said to be in the early stages of many of its markets. It has all of these markets that it's in that are being successful right now. And they're saying the early stages of the shift to compute the cloud. What does that mean?
Well, again, that goes back to their kind of web services offering. So everything that kind of rolls up through the cloud, I think Amazon, you can start you can actually start with their web services for basically for free. So any kind of smaller upcoming businesses who want to put everything kind of on the web directly to the cloud and not have a their own standalone data center, if you will, Amazon provides that kind of start to finish.
Was Amazon big in the 10 years ago, 15 years ago, in the big ramp up of those stocks at that time?
It was not 10 years ago, but call it over the last 5 years or so, Amazon's made an enormous push into this web services and cloud computing arena, and has really kind of become the benchmark throughout the industry for this kind of cloud services.
And it's hard to argue with a company that is that stock is selling at $1,600 a share. But do analysts believe that even with the prime price hike, that do they believe that $119 a year is just right?
Actually, guys, analysts across the street have actually increased their estimates and price targets largely after this earnings report. So a number of analysts call it, let's say, have increased their estimates close to 5-6% and their price targets. So you have a number of analysts looking out kind of 12 months seeing the stock north of 2000.
All right, Greg, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. Greg Calderon is a reporter at Bloomberg in New York, and still ahead on the Noon Business Hour, Entrepreneur Friday, a Chicago company that survived the Shark Tank and is now swimming in national waters.
WBBM News Time, 1225. WBBM Business is sponsored by Baird. Let's go back to Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we have some slight gains here with the Dow now higher by 8 points. 24,330 is the level. NASDAQ gaining 5, and then the S&P 500 is up 5. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is gaining 0.3%. Big car lenders, including Ally Financial and JP Morgan, boosted car loans in the first quarter. The pace of auto sales was picking up. Loan originations rose almost 1.5%. Rival lender Santander led the increase. Its loans jumped 17% to $6.3 billion. Crude oil futures are headed higher right now. We're at $68.23 a barrel. We've got a check of the grains markets. For that, we turn to Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal. Kurt?
Well, good afternoon, Lisa. Grain markets are higher. Talk that next week's U.S.-China trade talks could be promising, supporting the soybean complex, along with news that NAFTA talks are going well also. Soybean meal's been real strong due to concerns about meal coming out of Argentina due to port construction repairing the damage done. Corn up 2 to 2.75. Beans are up 14 to 16 cents. And the wheat market's up 4 to 5 cents. This is Kurt Kimmel with Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Kurt. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are a touch higher at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, we check back with the CEO of a Chicago company that has scored big with his Dude Wipes.
Prices rising for some of the most used consumer goods. We'll find out why.
A North Suburban man is arrested by police despite pulling off a Spider-Man-like leap.
President Trump says he's honored by the findings of the Republican-led House Intelligence Committee in the Russia probe.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials flat, the NASDAQ up 3 points, and the S&P 500 up by four.
Sunshine followed by clouds this afternoon, says AccuWeather. A couple of showers around later this afternoon into this evening. A high today of 59. Cooler along the lakefront. It's 54 degrees. And the noon business hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are looking to wrap up the week on a positive note. They're pretty flat right now. We're joined by Vahan Janjigian, Chief Investment Officer at Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut. Vahan, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Amazon was really the rock star today, but what else do you see in the markets?
Yeah, Amazon certainly is the rock star, but I have to point out, Amazon is actually not performing as well as you might expect. Yesterday, after they announced their earnings, the stock was up extremely strongly in after-hours trading, and it's well off of those levels right now, even though it's up strongly for the day. The other one, too, was Intel. Intel was another stock that reported better-than-expected results, and the stock was up extremely strongly in after-hours trading yesterday, and it's given it all back. So I have to tell you that based on these two stocks that are clearly bellwethers in the market, the fact that the market can't really rally today on those strong reports is a bit concerning.
So what should investors know?
Well, I think what it tells you is that the market has largely priced in these strong results. So I think if you're reacting to this and thinking, oh, you know, look at these earnings reports, they're much better than expected, it's a good time to get into the market, I would think that that might be a mistake. I think the market has already largely priced in these results, so companies are not going to be able to rally simply because they turn in good earnings. This is something we've been noticing, during this earnings season, that better than expected earnings results don't necessarily translate into a strong stock market rally.
So what is a smart investment right now?
I would be careful. I would be focusing primarily on value stocks. I think there is a rotation taking place from the growth stocks to the value stocks. We've gone through several years of growth stocks outperforming value stocks, and I think we're finally seeing a rotation. One of my favorite sectors, for example, is energy. Today, however, we see two big energy companies behaving very differently. They both announced results, but Chevron is rallying pretty strongly while Exxon is selling off. But I think overall, the energy sector is a good place to be. I think financials is a good place to be. That's another area that has not really kept pace with the earnings results. Banks have been actually turning in pretty good results, and higher interest rates should clearly help them. So I think that might be a good area to go into. But, overall, I would say value is the way to go. I think IBM is another great example. Here's a company that's in the midst of a turnaround, just turned in much better than expected results last quarter, yet the stock sold off very strongly. I think it's a good opportunity to get into something like that.
What's your general assessment of tech, given the last 5 or 6 weeks or so? It would appear yesterday that Facebook cleared its first hurdle post-Cambridge Analytica, where they said year over year, their user base actually went up. They didn't lose a lot of people as a result of the data scandal. And the real thing that's kind of weighing Facebook down is the possibility of government regulation. Amazon, as we've been talking about all hour, still rocking and rolling. So how would you say that sector has kind of weathered this period of scrutiny?
I think it's weathered it extremely well. Facebook is a great example of a company that really has no significant competitors. I mean, there are companies like Snap and Twitter and a few others that some people hold up as competitors, but they're really not competitors. Facebook also owns Instagram, which is extremely popular with the younger generation. So as you pointed out, the biggest risk that Facebook and many of these other companies, including Amazon, the biggest risks that they face have to do with regulation. So I think we may be reaching a point where governments are saying that, wait a minute, we have to put the brakes on these kinds of companies because they've become too big and powerful. Yet many people don't realize that sometimes regulation can actually benefit these companies by making it even harder for startups to compete with them.
And then are the markets keeping an eye on the seeming thaw in Korea?
you know, that's not having as big of an effect on the market as I would have expected. I think that's really big news. It was very surprising to hear this thaw. Maybe investors are just skeptical and don't believe that it's as big of a thaw as the media is currently making it out to be. But, yeah, I thought that would have a much bigger impact on the market. I thought we'd see a strong rally. Of course, it has had some impact in the sense that we did see a bit of a sell-off in defense-related stocks.
Vahan, always nice to have you on the program. Vahan Janjigian is Chief Investment Officer, Greenwich Wealth Management in Greenwich, Connecticut, ahead of Entrepreneur Friday. That is our next segment, the national success story of a unique idea hatched here in Chicago. And I believe I see one of the dudes that we're going to be talking to right now.
You've already given away. It's one half of the business of Dude Wipes. We'll go in depth, so to speak.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, which is sponsored by the Webb Financial Group. And today we're getting an update on the company behind a product that we first introduced you to a couple of years ago, Dude Wipes. So we welcome in the dude behind Dude Wipes, Sean Riley, co-founder and CEO. And Sean, you live in Chicago right now, but you are a native of Southwest Suburban Orland Park. And when you were growing up, walking around the Orland Square Mall, did you ever imagine that... Dude Wipes would be in your future?
No, can't say back then I did. I think I was still using toilet paper, so we hadn't quite thought of the Dude Wipes idea yet. But yeah, born and raised here locally and still growing the company in Chicago.
Before we talk about the growth of Dude Wipes, we should probably explain what it is. It is a flushable bathroom tissue geared towards the gentleman, hence the name, Dude Wipes. Did you imagine... I don't know if you want to call it the toilet paper space, that there would be such demand for flushable wipes and that you would jump into it?
Yeah, you know, part of our business plan was to kind of look at that the toilet paper industry really hadn't been innovated or done anything new or interesting in a long time. So, you know, the idea was that we could make a splash and, you know, make a new innovative product. But, of course, when you get that first load of product and just load it in your spare bedroom, you're not necessarily thinking of when you're going to be on all these shelves and available to people across the country. So, you know, you have confidence in your idea and your plan, but at the same time, it's always kind of like seeing a dream come to fruition when everything is growing in front of you.
And you're expanding to Walmart, which seems like it'd be a pretty good market for you.
Yeah, that's correct. We were at the Walmart open call last summer, which is investing $250 billion into U.S. manufacturing. So that's one of their initiatives. And we got a test at the end of last year in 1,000 stores. The customers, you know, resonated well with the product. The Dude Wipes are doing well. So in June, we are rolling out nationwide into every Walmart's toilet paper aisle, which is about 4,400 stores or so. So, you know, it's kind of that moment where we're saying you can get Dude Wipes across the country now.
And it doesn't hurt to say that it's made in the USA.
No, it doesn't hurt at all. Yeah, that's one thing we're proud of, and we're proud to align with Walmart on their initiative there too.
Do you have a competitor?
We have some competitors on the shelves like Cottonelle or Charmin, but they have, you know, puppy dogs and bears on their packaging, so not quite resonating to the dudes.
So this is really a marketing challenge, more than anything else, because you said, Cottonelle is there, Costco has their own version, so you do have to more or less make it a lifestyle brand more than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of our goal, is for people to have fun with the product, have fun with the brands, and that's always something we're trying to do differently than the other guys, and that'll get somebody to maybe change their routine. Where if your marketing's kind of stale or it's not pointed at anybody, then that could be a tough challenge.
What's your advice to entrepreneurs who have some, think they really have something that people are going to want? What's the first step?
First step is to kind of figure out how to make the product. But I always say don't spend too long on that and just get a product made. Get something on the market that you can get to family, friends, get feedback. Because if you don't get to that first step of a product, then you could just be stuck in that development stage. So I always say, try to get that version one product out and then just learn from there and just keep at it.
Did you always want to be an inventor growing up? I mean, did you see yourself as a Thomas Edison type, or is this the inspiration for Dude Wipes? So was that something that just came at you like a bolt of lightning?
Yeah, I remember in college seeing entrepreneurship as a program, and I didn't even really know what it meant. So I wouldn't say I always was trying to be an entrepreneur, but as I started getting in the work field, I wanted to do things more creative. And then, yeah, me and our buddies were sitting around one day, came up with the Dude Wipes idea, and we thought we'd give it a shot.
Well, it's Isaac Newton, you know, the apple falls out of the tree. either you run with it or you shrug it off. Sean Riley is the co-founder and CEO of Dude Wipes, based in Chicago. Still to come, you can expect to pay more for Pop cereal soup and other popular items. We'll tell you why.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The cost of some consumer goods expected to rise in the coming months. Let's see where people are going to take a hit. We're joined by Diane Swonk, Chief Economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Diane, what costs are rising? What are we talking about here and why?
Well, we're seeing a lot of costs rise right now, not the least of which, of course, is transportation costs, which is going to be pushing up everything from delivery costs to costs of getting shipments from our online retailers. But most importantly, we're seeing the ripple effects even before the full effects of tariffs go in, which we'll see how far they go on May 1st on things like steel and aluminum. Anything that comes in a can or tin or is lined, much of that could be affected. And it's already pushed up the price of aluminum quite dramatically. And many consumer products companies, the big name ones like Coca-Cola, even beer companies, have said they're going to have to pass on some of those costs in terms of higher prices to consumers. Those are 25% tariffs. And many of the kinds of goods that we're talking about, the kinds of aluminum, actually is a tin that is something you can only import in things like canned goods and stuff like that. So it shows up in soups, in canned vegetables, things that not everybody buys, but actually it tends to be oftentimes things that someone who has the least to spend will be the most affected by.
And another item, this is the second time this week, in fact, that we've run into this idea that we're seeing truck driver shortages now.
Exactly. This is something we're hearing across the board. Truck driver shortages are getting acute. Many truck drivers are retiring out. They've grown older. We've not trained any truck drivers. And it's a hard job. And what we're seeing is many of the trucking companies out there are raising wages, which is good for the truck drivers themselves. But they have to raise wages to bring people in. So you're also pushing up the cost in addition to higher prices at the pump and the cost of moving goods. It's also going to cost more on employees as well. Some of that's going to show up as higher shipping costs. Of course, some companies will absorb those costs, but not everyone can afford to, and many companies are now saying they're getting to that tipping point where it's going to show up in the cost of goods you get.
Generally, from the large scale cost of aluminum is going up. I mean, how much would that increase be seen on a per can basis?
Well, we don't know. It depends on what maker and what kind of aluminum, so that's where the real issue is, and that's why there's a lot of uncertainty, although in general the cost of aluminum has gone up in anticipation of tariffs, so even before we've even felt them, they've had many of these consumers of aluminum, which is across the board, have had to see them, so they're already seeing the crimp in their margins. And so it really varies by producer. I think the hardest thing is that when you look at the number of producers of steel and aluminum, just the sheer volume of them versus how many consumers of aluminum and steel we have out there, it's a huge difference. The ripple effects through the economy, you can do a heat map. We actually recently did one on looking at what would be the effects of this throughout the economy, and it very rapidly spreads. And even if it's a small amount on one individual can, of course, that compounds when you're also talking about rising wage costs at the same time as rising transportation costs as well. So they're getting hit on many sides.
Thank you very much, Diane Swonk, Chief Economist, Grant Thornton, based here in Chicago. You will find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's check the markets. Sponsored by Leapfrog Technology Group. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by just 5 points. We are on track for a weekly loss of 0.2%. NASDAQ down 1, also looking to a weekly loss of about 0.5%. S&P is up 3, unchanged on the week. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.2%. And the gains keep coming for Amazon. Company shares hit a high watermark. They're up about 4% right now after another stellar earnings season. Amazon saw its profit growth in 2 years double what had been forecast. And Amazon Prime customers will be paying more for their memberships. That boost of revenue will increase their coffers by $1.2 billion a year. With Business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.